asked you to bring Matt back to the microphone for a very special moment.
Thanks, Ed. And the Progressive is delighted to be co-sponsoring Fighting Bob Fest this year, and we want to be more and more involved in the years ahead, and we hope you'll contribute to those buckets so we can cover this year's costs and prepare for next year. I do want to urge you to go to the breakout sessions, and this one that Mike Wiggins is going to be on is going to be terrific. Rebecca Kemble is going to be on that panel with him. I see Rebecca over there. Rebecca's done incredible reporting from up north and also from our capital. I think she's the single best state reporter in Wisconsin right now, and we're grateful she's there on the stage. And I'm sure that panel and the other panels will be great at the breakout sessions. It's now a tremendous honor for me to formally introduce to Ruth Conniff, who's been with the Progressive now for 22 years, not counting the time she started as an intern. She was associate editor, she was Washington editor, she's been political editor for a long, long time, and as of this week, she's the editor of the Progressive magazine. She's taken over for me, and I couldn't be happier. She has tremendous energy, ideas, intelligence for moving the Progressive forward. And she will be doing so with tremendous skill. You may have seen her on Ed Schultz's show on MSNBC, or heard her on the Ed Schultz radio show, or seen her on PBS's To the Contrary, or heard her on the Joy Cardine show. She is a real star, and she will be shining for the Progressive for many years to come. She is, as I like to say, the long-lost great-granddaughter of Belle Case La Follette. The Progressive has never, if you can believe it, in its 104 years, had a woman to be the editor of the Progressive magazine. Belle Case La Follette herself could have edited the Progressive, and actually, if truth be told, was editing the Progressive for many years, with Fighting Bob. And when Fighting Bob died in 1925, she got together young Bob and Phil to decide whether they were going to shut down the Progressive or not, and it was really her more than anybody, I imagine, who kept the magazine going then for the next many years before they handed it over to Bill Evue. And so Belle Case La Follette was actually acting editor of the Progressive magazine, but not formally. And so it's long past time, and Ruth Conniff is going to take us from here. I'm going to still be with the Progressive every day. I'm not going away. I'm going to be senior editor, and I'm just going to be a crotchety old copy editor, which suits me fine. And Ruth is going to take us forward deep into the digital age and also in every other way, leading the Progressive forward. She reveres our tradition. She reveres our writers. She put together an incredible book about Seneca Falls, Stonewall, and Selma earlier this year. And just this week, in her first week on the job as editor of the Progressive, she launched publicschoolshakedown.org. A tremendous effort to defend our public schools from the privatizers and the vultures of voucherization. So I give you Ruth Conniff.
Thanks, Matt. Matt's the world's greatest boss. I said it last night at the Barrymore, and I'll say it again. His humane values are what make the Progressive a great place to work, and they inform our magazine, not just in rhetoric, but because Matt is a great guy and because he believes in treating people well, and that really shines through, I think, in everything that we do. So I feel very fortunate to have worked with him for all of these years. Also, I just want to say, let's hear it for Ed Garvey, who's carried the torch. He's carried the torch for Wisconsin's Progressive tradition all these years, bringing these Progressive speakers and organizers here to our community to stir up everybody and keep us fighting. And it's an incredible service, and it gives us a platform that I'm really proud the Progressive magazine is part of now. And we're going to carry this tradition forward. And it makes a lot of sense. It was Matt and Ed who decided that the Progressive magazine is a natural home for Fighting Bob Fest. Our founder is Fighting Bob La Follette, and our shared values have very deep roots in this state. And it's really fun to think about combining energies and taking this Progressive movement into the future. It's what Bob La Follette called the fight for the public interest against private greed that we stand for fundamentally. And boy, do we have private greed in spades right now here in the state of Wisconsin as a laboratory, really, for the takeover of our democracy by the right wing and corporate interests nationally. So I don't have to tell you how bad Scott Walker, or as a right wing blogger nicknamed him, Governor Awesome Sauce, has been. He's moving on to the national stage, and he's taking his whole theory of liquidating civil society onto the national stage. But fortunately, we also have this progressive tradition, this progressive movement here in Wisconsin to carry us forward. And as I started full-time back at the Progressive and thinking about taking on this job as editor, as Matt mentioned, one of our first projects was this ebook series from our archives. We have these huge bound volumes in our office at 409 East Main Street from when the Progressive was a broadsheet. It started as La Follette's Weekly, and then even as the Progressive Magazine initially was a great big broad tabloid style paper, and we still have those crumbling yellowing copies in our office. And so paging through them to create this ebook of our history was really an amazing experience. Belcase La Follette was a huge fighter for women's suffrage, and for a long time the Progressive Magazine was fundamentally a magazine to advocate for and fight for women's suffrage in this country. It really gives you a sense that we are on solid ground historically to look at what the Progressive has stood for over these many years. The fight for the vote for women, in which the arguments are so similar to the arguments that we hear today. In fact, I was on a pundit show with a conservative woman from the Heritage Foundation who was talking about how it doesn't matter to her whether we have 20% or 50% representation in Congress. That's not really the issue. And I was just sort of struck by having just read these very arguments in this battle for women's right to vote. So, you know, this stuff has not gone away. But the Progressive has been on the right side, and we in Wisconsin, the Progressive movement have been on the right side. The civil rights movement, the Progressive Magazine, early on published James Baldwin, published Martin Luther King Jr., talking about the fight for civil rights in this country, and that's a really proud tradition. And of course, right here at home was an early opponent of Senator Joe McCarthy and the House Un-American Activities Committee. And that is such a proud tradition, and one that those arguments still resonate today. We were early advocates for gay liberation. And that is a fight that is really a wonderful fight to read about now, because in this last few years, with the fight for marriage equality, you see the entire culture transformed to embrace gay liberation and full equal rights for gay and lesbian people. And that is such a fabulous and heartening feeling to be on the right side of that fight and to see our history on the right side of that fight. And of course, for peace and the strong opposition to U.S. military adventurism abroad. You don't send a message by dropping bombs on civilians, and we have always opposed the idea that the United States can throw its weight around in that way. So our vision for a just society and a better life for women, for workers, for gay people, for people of color, was always called crazy. And yet you can see the transformative effect over time, that we have a cultural consensus on these issues now. In Washington, D.C., when I was there about a week ago, I was on a pundit show for women that I'm on frequently, arguing for pay equity and family leave and childcare. And it occurred to me that the argument that we were having is really at the center of what's happening in Wisconsin right now and sort of the right-wing push nationally. And that basically the argument was that you shouldn't have a child if you can't afford to have a child. So for the first time in my life, actually, I was called out publicly as a mother of small children. Sort of accused of being a mother of small children, as if this were obvious evidence of corruption or membership in a special interest group. And the point was, like, how could I, with any credibility, argue that we should have family leave or equal pay or the kinds of policies that make it possible for people with children and those children themselves to live a decent life? And this argument has caught on. We saw it here in Wisconsin with the incredible attacks on public school teachers. I mean, who would have thought that our teachers would be treated as this corrupt special interest group with these special privileges that they needed to have taken from them? But that is where this argument is going, this right-wing corporate argument that you know, only the rich deserve their money and that everybody else, the poor, who've been bashed for a long time, and we saw it in this state with the welfare reform argument that started here, but now the middle class, too, that all of us should be struggling as hard as we can for scraps, and that there should be no social contract in which we say, let's get together and provide a decent society for people. right? I mean, it really comes down to that. It comes down to what kind of a society do we want to live in? The minimum wage has fallen 31% over the last 40 years in my lifetime, while incomes for the top 1% have increased 110%. That's the backdrop to all of this. Half of all working women can't take a single day off to stay home with a sick child. And yet, we have this argument, well, if you can't afford it, it's irresponsible of you to have children. Talk about a bleak vision of life. You know, that we should just scramble as hard as we can. It's really the opposite of the vision that Mike Wiggins was just talking about. That we should care for our children, that we should think about the future of our society, and that we should have a sense of compassion and working together. This is the attitude that you see at work with the privatization of our public school system. And we know now with the expansion of private school vouchers in Wisconsin that 60% of people who are applying to get those vouchers are private school parents who have never sent their child to a public school. But they're happy to take a taxpayer-financed rebate on their private school tuition. That you can see where this argument is going. We are not far from the day when we say, well, why should we spend any public money to send any child to school? This is a private responsibility, isn't it? People have the bad sense not to be rich, then they shouldn't go around having children. Or healthcare. I had the opportunity to sit in on the joint committee talking about the rejection of Medicaid money for the state of Wisconsin, and to hear the Republican arguments about why we needed to turn away millions of dollars in federal money to ensure that the working poor of Wisconsin not get health care coverage. And their arguments, they had a couple of arguments. One was, we can't be sure the money will always be there, but we can guarantee you if you don't have health care coverage now that we can withhold it in the future. So let's stay with that. That's a plan we can stand behind. And the other argument that was incredible was, and I know I see Kathleen Beinhaw, I know she's heard this many times, for the first time in history, 100% of Wisconsinites have the opportunity to have health insurance. And what they mean by that is, if you make $12,000 a year, you have the opportunity to buy a $4,000 health insurance policy. Now, they admit, if people are irresponsible and they don't purchase that policy, there's nothing that they can do about that. And given that that's a possibility, they are increasing reimbursements to hospitals for emergency room care, just in case this doesn't work. That's the vision that they're offering to people. You know, it's a vision that was unmasked, I think, by the uprising in Wisconsin. It was unmasked by Occupy. It's clear that these are policies that don't work for the huge majority of us. It's why Mitt Romney lost the election, because a great majority of Americans see this concentration of wealth, and they see policies that enhance the even faster concentration of wealth, and they say, this is total garbage. So what we have to overcome, really, I think, is the politics of resentment and despair. Because how on earth can we see these policies moving forward? And I think the reason we see them moving forward is because Scott Walker and others are making the case that while they don't have anything to offer, while they're not going to help you get health insurance, and they're not going to make it possible for you to have a good public school, what they are going to do is they're going to turn to the people in your community who do have health care benefits and who do have a pension, people like public school teachers and other public employees, and they're going to say, why should they have that when you don't? And that, unfortunately, that message has been very successful for Walker. It is going nowhere, right? I mean, we're not going to gain anything from this. And yet, because people do feel pressed, it turns out that it is a successful politics to stir up those feelings of resentment that come out of despair, really. And you'll notice that Walker is now backpedaling on this idea that he's going to create 250,000 new jobs. It's not about the jobs. It's not about the jobs. It's about sticking it to public employees. You know, that's all he's got. So I really think we have a pretty decent shot at combating that message with a message that says, as the progressive said in the progressive era, we gotta do something for people. We have to pull together. We can't just say, hey, we can all be in equally bad shape. We can say we need union jobs, we need fair pay, we need great public schools, we need rural infrastructure, we need a clean environment, we need to save the headwaters. We need to be able to go to college. We We need people not to be crushed by debt into their 40s, as Scott Ross points out. And we can do all that. And I think the way that we start at the level of talking about this is that we can tell people, yes, yes, you should have health care. Yes, you should have retirement benefits. Yes, you should have a living wage and public schools and great libraries. Yes, women should have birth control and access to abortion and family leave and workable hours. You know, I think that is why the marriage equality fight caught on the way that it did, that it really caught fire, because it is such an overwhelmingly positive message, saying yes to life, yes to love and acceptance and happiness and a bigger, more generous vision of human potential and fulfillment. Right? I mean, who wants the sourpusses and their cramped, punitive, angry view of life that says you're screwed and your neighbor can be screwed too? You know, we have a really great opportunity, I think, to have a different message and a much more winning message for people. Harry Hay, the founder of the modern gay rights movement, said in the Progressive magazine, "We must be the people to set each other free." And I think we're ready to do that. So, forward.
Terrific. I'd like to announce that the Ayn Rand Caucus will be meeting over here. Those of you who have had the opportunity to work with Congressman Ryan, of course, have a great appreciation because you must read Ayn Rand's works. They also have a coloring book, which goes with it. I just want to say this. I want to say thank you to those of you who stood and spoke out against the war in Syria. We do not want war, and I think that message has been taken to Washington, D.C., thanks to you. Thanks to having a messenger like Tammy Baldwin.